In the weeks leading up to the 2016 election, the FBI and local police in western Kansas foiled a terror plot by three members of a white supremacist group called the Crusaders. The three men, who go on trial this June, had planned to bomb an apartment complex whose residents were mostly Somali refugees. Those refugees had been living and working in the small meatpacking town of Garden City, Kansas. News of the planned attack rattled the Somali community, but not one family left Garden City.
I think that Garden City is one of the more hopeful places that I've visited in these sorts of towns.
Ted Genoese is an award-winning writer and editor who spent years reporting on meatpacking towns like Garden City. His article, just published in the New Republic, describes a rural community that has sometimes struggled with its reliance on immigrant labor.
When all of this began, the community was sort of on a downhill slide and was struggling to keep its economic base. So the arrival of new people who were coming with sort of guaranteed income and therefore some money to spend in the community and support local businesses was seen as something that was something of a boon. You know, the town's population went from about 16,000 to 25,000 in a matter of just a few years.
Wow.
On the one hand, there were sort of the civic leaders and the business leaders who saw this as a positive. And then there were people who felt that they were being squeezed out of those economic opportunities that would be created by the meatpacking plants, who started to develop a kind of simmering resentment toward the immigrants.
And that simmering resentment, of course, leads into this attempt or this plot to massacre Somali immigrants. There were three men involved in this plot, three men arrested. What do we know about them?
It's an interesting trio. They found each other through a kind of combination of attending militia meetings, these white supremacist groups that we think of as being common for quite some time in rural areas. And these guys all found each other through some of those groups, both in person and online. There was Curtis Allen, who was an Iraq War veteran who had come home suffering from PTSD and from a traumatic brain injury, who seems to have developed a hatred for Muslims while he was in Iraq. There was Patrick Stein, who was a farmer and through online means had kind of self-radicalized and believed every single paranoid conspiracy theory that he read online. And then there was Gavin Wright, who in some ways remains the mysterious member of the group. People, you know, describe it as being someone who had some strong conservative beliefs, but no one suspected of these sorts of things.
What were they plotting exactly, and did they have the means to carry it out?
Early on, there was discussion of the apartment complex where many of the Somalis lived, that they would, you know, blow up the mosque during prayer time. There was talk of simply going into the apartment complex and shooting everyone that they saw. Over time, they started to plot this idea of a Timothy McVeigh-style car bombing. And there was at first an idea of doing this on September 11th, but then when there was concern from the group that such an attack might be an aid to Hillary Clinton in the last days of the presidential campaign, they decided to push it off to election night.
How were these three men caught?
The FBI, they had been following these guys at least since the spring of 2016. But everything sort of accelerated in the investigation and came to a head when Curtis Allen's girlfriend, after a domestic violence incident, called the police and she showed them that their trailer was loaded with ammunition and guns. And the final police report estimated that there was a metric ton worth of ammunition and weapons there.
How did the Somali community respond when they were told about this plan? I imagine people must have been terrified.
At first, you know, I think it was shock and fear, but I really do have to give great credit to the Garden City Police Force and particularly to Chief Michael Utes, who had worked in this community and knew that understanding the immigrant community is vital to doing good police work. He felt that there hadn't been enough outreach to the Somali community and started establishing that in the months before the arrests were made. So he was able to reach out to the leaders in the Somali community and gather them together at the police station so that they could find out about this all at once. And with the FBI present, giving full and accurate information, And it really prevented the spread of panic and misinformation that could have led to people just picking up and fleeing.
What is the political climate like in this part of Western Kansas? I mean, as you point out in your story, this is happening right around the time of the 2016 presidential election.
Well, it really is the central mystery of this whole case, as far as I'm concerned. At the local level, the citizens of the community have more or less consistently elected forward-thinking liberal members of the city council and mayors. And yet the city itself and the county that it sits in and the surrounding counties not only voted for Trump, but voted for him about 2-1. So there's this divide between what people see and trust on their own streets and in their communities and what they fear coming from state and national politics. And Trump, very specifically in the months that were leading up to the election, was singling out not just Syrian refugees, but Somali refugees as a group that was in particular to be distrusted and that were potential terrorists. And so it has created a really kind of schizophrenic identity in a town like Garden City.
And one that I think we're probably seeing in many similar towns across the United States. Do you think in the end the people of Garden City are going to be all right? Has the city come together in the wake of all this?
In the wake of this attack, the police and the Somali community pulled together. I also think that the Somalis deserve tremendous credit because they kept insisting and still insist that while they were the target of the attack, that the apartment complex they live in is also filled with Burmese refugees, refugees from Vietnam, and immigrants from all over Latin America. And they've said, you know, we can't say that we were the only ones who would have been the victim of this attack. And so they've done a lot of work to reach out to those communities and to see themselves not as a Somali community within Garden City, but the Somali part of the Garden City community.
Ted Genoways, thank you so much for bringing it to us.
Thanks for having me on.
Ted's story, which was published in The New Republic, was written in collaboration with the Food and Environment Reporting Network.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.